You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 1st, 2019, and we gotta go fast and buy some VR.
Back to the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
I'm George Albor.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. This week, we're talking about Knuckles.
Both of them.
Both types of Knuckles. Virtual reality Knuckles and Knuckles the Echidna.
I don't know if Knuckles...
is an echidna, right?
Yes, Knuckles is an echidna. Yeah. Okay. You can tell because... I don't know.
Because of his Australian accent? I don't know.
I mean, does he have an Australian accent?
I have no clue. I don't know where Knuckles hails from.
I could identify a real echidna from a hedgehog in real life. You know, it's one of my superpowers.
I've trained for years.
Listen, not to brag, but I could recognize an echidna in real life.
This week we're talking about a couple news stories that have been happening recently. One is about Valve's new VR hardware, and yep. The other is about our favorite blue... Is a hedgehog a rodent? What is a hedgehog?
Is he a beast?
Is a hedgehog a vegetable, animal, or mineral?
Hold on a second. You know what? We're just going to look this up. Hedgehog.
Hedgehog. Oh, no. I turned off save search.
It's a spiny mammal of the subfamily Erinaceae.
Okay.
So there you go.
Oh.
I think it's its own thing.
It's its own thing? Okay.
Yeah, it's not a rodent. It's not a rodent. It is a thing. It's like a, you know.
My apologies to the hedgehog family. yes. A new trailer dropped for Sonic the Hedgehog, the feature film.
Yeah.
And it got us, actually, before the podcast, it got us talking about just generally speaking the response and also the intent of the movie, as well as some funny things about the casting. So we're going to talk a little bit about that, and we may wander into a few other things. But let's start with the VR stuff.
Sure.
Okay, VR watch, VR check-in 2019.
Oh, God.
Do I own a VR headset?
Maybe this is the year
of VR. Yeah, I do not own one. That's check-in for me, check-in for you. George, do you own a VR headset?
I do not own a VR headset.
Fuck. First off, I mean,
genuine
we
question.
Have been talking about this since what, like 2016 maybe?
I think that both you and I would have thought that at least one of us would have a VR system by now.
That's, yeah, I mean, I'm... To me, just on a larger level, I'm not quite sure what that says, that two people who are pretty into the medium and have enough disposable income to spend money on stupid things don't have at least a headset.
Do you think it's because we're too into the medium, though? Like, we're just too busy playing other games to really...
Oh, real like, games oh. for real gamers.
Well, yeah, you know, the game is not for babies. That we have to then go, you know, like... Is it just like, oh, I don't want another thing to cut into my time at this point?
Maybe that's more of a software argument where like there hasn't been something that would... Because for me, it's like, is there a game that I could only play in VR that is some, you know, genre-defying, groundbreaking game or something? And I guess the answer to that is maybe no. Like, I just haven't heard anything like that yet.
And we've received... you know, emails from listeners that are passionate about VR and really like it. And I'm convinced that other people really like VR.
Like, One thing I can say with certainty
is that some people enjoy it, and that's great. And genuinely, though, I'm very happy for everyone out there who loves their VR systems. I have enjoyed what little VR I've had an opportunity to play. I have just never been convinced that it's worth the buy-in. And partly for me, and I've said this before in the podcast, is I want the best VR experience I can get. And I can't get that right now at an affordable price.
Hmm.
That's where Valve comes in.
Yeah.
Which seems like they're maybe solving one of those problems.
We're not going to make it more affordable. We'll just make other things seem more affordable in comparison.
Hey, I mean, that sells. That works.
They announced... their new, I guess first party now, because it's not what was the Vive? Samsung?
Yes.
And now Facebook HTC. Owns Oculus. Or sorry, you're right, HTC. And now Facebook is Oculus, so it's Valve's, I guess, first party VR hardware called the Valve Index.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
it's got knuckles.
I mean, it has some interesting, you know, it has these crazy looking plastic brass knuckles looking controllers, which is kind of a cool evolution of what I've seen like Vive controllers look like.
Yeah, finally we can like punch things. Someone in the throat with those things, you know, to defend ourselves. Have you ever used
the either Oculus or Vive specific controls?
No, not those. Not either of those two. Although, comment by the way about the state of VR. I don't have a VR headset, but I did inherit a set of motion controllers for the PlayStation, as well as the camera and like all the stuff I need besides the headset. Yeah.
I mean, that's another thing where like each one of these, the PC versus the console stuff uses different hardware, so you have to decide what you want to buy into. The PlayStation stuff seems really cobbled together. Like it's kind of crazy that they found another use for Move controllers.
Yep.
And I question what they will do next time around, because they're clearly going to keep going with PSVR, but are you really going to keep investing in the Move controllers? Like I don't know.
It's interesting though, because this Valve, so the Valve Index, which by the way, I mean, you mentioned it before the show, is a fucking god awful name. I mean, Index, that's like price index.
Yeah, the consumer price index.
Do you think that they're trying to name it? Because here's the thing, right? The controller has 87 sensors that will monitor your hand movements to great degrees, including individual finger movements.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's like a play on index finger?
Oh. I didn't even think about that, but you're probably right.
Maybe they should have called it like Valve Pointer. Or Valve High Five.
The Valve Digits.
Yeah, hey, that's actually pretty good. The Digit Controller.
Yeah, I guess that's a good point. I mean, that it's probably, I would imagine, not having ever used these type of hand-based controllers, that it's probably a good way to trick your brain into the feeling of presence, like connecting a physical hand motion to something you're seeing is probably a really familiar thing for your brain to like make the leap.
Yeah. I'm waving my fingers in front of my face right now, listeners.
And it's like, ooh, yes, I do. Ooh,
I am so present right now, Scott.
I am comforted.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, that stuff looks very impressive. I mean, apparently the screen resolution is higher than the Vive, which was already the kind of top of the line in the market. It's been some years since I've used a VR headset, but have you noticed the kind of screen dooring effect of in later models, or do you feel like that has largely been kind of a solved problem?
That's a good question. It's been a good while since I've tried VR, to be honest. So yeah. The last time I used it, I don't recall it being a huge issue, but I also never felt that it was like totally what I was looking for in terms of quality. I think the last one I played was the PSVR.
Yeah. Which is a whole different thing. Like, it's just there's not as much hardware behind it, and they have to cut more corners. But
even the Vive, right? Like the frame rate for the Vive is 90 hertz versus 120 on the Index. Like, that's a huge jump.
Yeah. I mean, just and that's the thing that always worries me the most about VR, which is, you know, I've gotten motion sick from 2D first person games, let alone 3D first person games.
And I mean, I've been like motion sick in real life, just in like the backseat of a car. You know, like I clearly don't need a VR system to make me sick.
But I mean, this thing, it just requires so much fidelity to make sure that you don't feel sick when you're doing it. I mean, the refresh rate seems great. The more resolution is always going to be better at tricking your brain. So like, it's definitely like the way that they should be going. And unless your goal is to get people to actually buy this thing at like a mass market way, because everything together bundled up costs like $1,000 to get all this stuff.
It is a pricey system.
Yeah. I don't know. It's weird to double down on the high end, you know?
Yeah. But that being said, we do have examples of VR now, like from Apple, for example, that are built for like more mobile device experiences and hands-free experiences, you know, like just put on the headset and you're good to go without having to plug into a computer. So I could see widening the gap between really high-end luxury VR experiences and more easy-to-use experiences. That wider gap is kind of nice because at least you then have a wide variety of options.
Right. Yeah. I guess that's true. And maybe you're Valve. You don't have to be super mass market if you just want to go with an extremely high end thing, and that's just the price of being the top of the marquee entry in the market.
When you and I were talking again before the show about like where we would fall on that price range, right? And we were comparing it to purchasing a television, where you know you and I will put in a lot of research into whenever we're going to be buying a large piece of electronic equipment like a TV, and really genuinely speaking, I want the most bang for my buck. I want a really high quality television because I know that I'm gonna be spending so much of my time in front of it as someone that plays a lot of video games.
Right.
I think the same could be said for how I would approach buying a VR system. And even though this is $1,000, already because it's the best piece of technology on the market in regards to VR, it's already, I mean, to be honest, kind of the only VR system for me that I would consider at this point, because the idea of going for a subpar piece of VR equipment is just weird. Like I couldn't justify that knowing how important a high resolution and refresh rate is for just the experience of feeling like you're being there.
Right.
Now, I don't think that's true for everybody. I think it's totally justifiable to say, you know what? I intend to play all of my VR games in 15-minute increments. I don't need the most high fidelity system, so this isn't for me, and that's fine. But I mean, again, I'm not gonna go out and blow $1,000 on a Valve piece of hardware, especially before I know what games it's really supporting at all, besides what's already available on Valve, like Superhot. But I cannot imagine me saying, oh well, you know, this isn't for me, so I'm gonna go get a sort of Gen 1 PSVR, you know.
Right I mean, The games is always going to be a sticking point, I guess, because I'm not as much of an evangelist. I'm not a sufficient evangelist to be like, I need this to just see it. You know, I want to be a part of it. Like, I don't feel strongly enough about the movement to just go into this for the sake of the hardware. But for those people, this is clearly the choice. Like, if you care about VR as a technology, it seems like this is it. You know? Yeah.
And the Knuckles thing actually does seem kind of cool. You know, we were saying, I think that being able to use that even by itself is kind of compelling. It's $280 just for the Knuckles, which is mind-boggling. Like, there's no world where I could justify paying $280 for what is essentially a pair of controllers.
Right.
Or really one set of controllers, since I'd be using both. Although I guess theoretically you could play with your left hand and I can play with my right hand and we could just both control a guitar together.
Oh my god, it would be like that. Remember that Heroes of the Storm character where one person controlled the movement and one person controlled the attack?
Yes! Yeah, that's exactly, dude. It could be exactly like that. I can't imagine having to spend that much money on a pair of controllers, even though genuinely I think being able to track individual finger movements is kind of a cool way of interacting with the game space, and I could see that being really compelling even just on a 2D screen. You know, you'd mentioned Dreams, but there's other games out there. I could imagine, you know, having some form of support for that, especially games where you're like modeling characters or building worlds or just interacting in a funny way, you know?
I know a few people that work at a small company that specializes in VR experiences, and they're an enterprise company in that the most of their business comes in from doing like virtual trainings for people that you know, maybe work in a factory or work on an assembly line or have to deal with certain scenarios in their work, and they use VR to do that, to basically like put them harassment? Into this. I mean, it's probably like, here's the HR simulator 2019 or whatever. But I mean, like, they do it in order to simulate the experience and get people in the headspace of having to deal with it before they face the situation in real life. And it seems like the fidelity of the Knuckles controllers would be helpful in that enterprise space where there are people that have more like fine grained things that they're doing. Yeah. And there's more industrial. I guess this is the thing that I see with VR. It's there are as many industrial type of use cases as there are video game type use cases. And this just seems like an even more extreme version of that.
Yeah. There's a Steam game that I believe it's VR, but it also supports other interactions where you build a car from scratch. You have all the parts and you can build it just by picking up like all of the nuts and bolts from the very beginning. This seems like that would be great for like little, you know, individual hand controllers.
You have to like search around and find every single washer or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my God.
I mean, what we really want, right, is like force feedback gloves.
Yeah. You know, like a power glove.
Feel like like the power glove where like, you know, if you are like manning a ship, it feels like you're holding the rope in your hands or something.
What do you think the secret games are that Valve is working on? There's rumor that they're working on basically like three VR games.
Like Left 4 Dead 3 in VR and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Portal probably is a pretty obvious one. I think it lends itself really well because there's a lot of times in Portal where you are thinking about the puzzle before you sort of execute on it. And I think that makes a lot of sense in VR. I cannot imagine a lot of their other games, though, being great VR experiences right off the bat. Like, do you really want to play Half-Life in VR?
Yeah.
Although, you know, we said it before, if you're going to have a Half-Life 3, it has to be on something insane. So maybe VR.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like that's what they've traditionally done with Half-Life, which is they try to make it a, they try to tie the game to some sort of, medium defining event, and I guess 3D would be one of those. I think that if something, whatever they're making, whether it's three games or two games or however many, something is going to be Dota related for sure.
Yeah, well, don't they have Dota like chess? Maybe you could just pick up the pieces with your fingers.
I mean, they could. And I think they already have like a Dota experience where you can spectate from a chessboard like view, like you can see the map like that and like zoom in and out and so forth. But I would imagine that something would have to be Dota related. Maybe this is where the Dota card game gets relaunched.
Hey, yeah, you know what? Yeah, artifacts.
You got the fingers, like you pick up the little cards with index and thumb.
Or just poke on the screen. That's the ideal. That's the ideal game make experience: poking at two-dimensional cards in VR.
Yeah, it's. They're just such, they're in such a weird place too with just their internal software development that it's hard to understand what they would be using this for, because they seem to be largely a publishing and a platform thing versus a game making endeavor.
I mean, they make so much money that I don't know. I feel like this is just one of their many like wacky sort of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory side projects.
And this leaked out and they're like, well, I guess we have to make this a thing now.
Yeah, exactly. The Oompa Loompas have been putting together this system.
Do you think this will push Oculus to rethink their like down market approach? Like they've been kind of famously on the other side of the coin, which is like we need to make as many cheap headsets as possible.
No, I think Oculus is right, to be honest, in a way, right? Like I think if you are going to make the higher end market accessible, you also have to have a sort of smaller market to give people a taste, you know, so they want to upgrade. People aren't going to, you know, like one of the reasons people still buy TVs at brick and mortar stores is they can go in and look at it. You know, they can try out that TV and see what it's like to have a massive screen in front of their eyes. Right. You can't do that with VR unless you actually try VR. Like, and this is still true today as it was 3 years ago. You're not going to sell anyone on a VR unit really unless they try it. And that's how you make them into a believer. You cannot make people into a believer with a $1,000 unit unless you're giving everyone a free opportunity to try out some like sweaty face crusted, you know, VR unit at their like local Best Buy.
Yeah. Gross.
Nobody wants to use that thing. Steve's used it.
Let's talk about other weird, sweaty, gross, crusty things.
Oh man.
They released the new Sonic trailer, and man, does that look like a spectacle?
That is a thing, man. This has to be one of the most pre-hated game-related things in a while, right?
Is it hated on, or are people just fascinated and grossed out by it?
People are fascinated and grossed out. Here's the thing. It's coming in the same time period where there's a live-action Pokemon movie that actually looks pretty fucking good.
Yeah.
You know, with creatures that are weird and creepy.
Yeah.
You know, like, it is in the Pokemon film is in the uncanny valley, but just to the left. Sonic, in the posters that they've been releasing prior to the trailer, appears just on the right.
Right.
Of that uncomfortable realm. I think that's partly why people have been sort of hate watching or hate anticipating the release of this film and of today's trailer.
I mean, is it weird that I actually, after seeing this, am more confident about the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not confident that it's going to be good. Like, I don't think I'm going to like it.
But I feel like I know exactly what they're going for.
Yes, I feel the same way. And yeah. It's weird to say it. And, you know, there was some hot debates at work today with coworkers about it. But I don't think it actually looks all that bad.
Yeah.
What it looks like is a kids movie.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of kids movies that I'm not a big fan of. But seeing the trailer and the way that that trailer is structured and the way that some of those set pieces are structured, right? Like, there's a car chase scene. Of course there's a car chase scene, you know? Sonic does something wacky to disrupt the pursuit vehicle, and then he's back in the car, and, like, it's silly. That checks all the boxes for me when I'm thinking about what is a summer, you know, almost 90s-era aesthetic kind of kids movie, and this seems to be sort of slotted right into that.
I mean, it was surprisingly structured.
Yeah.
You know, like, it wasn't a thing that, I mean, it looked very much like, well, here's your villain, here's your, like, hero who encounters this weird thing that expands his world, and now he's in this new adventure, and, like, it just looked very traditional, you know?
Okay, I'm going to make a statement that, I don't know if this is controversial or not, okay? but this is a movie that in my mind are kind of comparable, right? Uh-huh. I hate Shrek. Okay, I hate Shrek. A lot of people, genuinely, there's a lot of people out there, grown-ass adults today, right? People you know and love, that really enjoy Shrek, and they remember Shrek fondly. Mm-hmm. And partly because they saw it as a kid, and Shrek and that silly donkey, and Fiona, like, so fun, right? I just cannot get over that fucking film and how much I hate it, right?
What part of it do you dislike so?
All of it. I think it's gross. It's weird. It's not funny. I don't like the goblin. Michael Myers. He's not a goblin. I guess he's an ogre. He's an ogre.
He's an ogre.
Michael Myers. It's all stuff I don't like. Hey, now you're an all-star. It's just wrapped up in a big old balloon.
Well, now I can't follow you, George. This is I have to draw the line at Smash Mouth.
My point being is I've moved past that. You know, like,
I've made my peace with it.
I have made my peace with Shrek, okay? I understand the role that Shrek and Shrek 2 Happily Ever After or whatever. Like, I understand.
What is
that,
like, Horsemen of the Apocalypse? Like, what is their role?
Yeah,
like,
it's a sequel
Harbingers
to Shrek.
Yeah.
I understand the place that Shrek has in the sort of canon of kids films that were important to people at certain times in their lives, right?
Mm.
Even though I don't like it. That's, I think, what Sonic is. Like, Sonic is Shrek. Like, I'm not going to like it because I don't like Shrek. But Shrek is not for me. And in the same way that Sonic is not for me, and that's okay.
Mm. Mm. I also think that
Shrek is the best movie ever made.
No, I actually remember watching Shrek again as an adult and thinking how dated it felt.
Yeah.
Just even the jokes and, like, the kind of, like, Smash Mouth nature of it.
Yes.
And it reminds me of something. I guess it the Sonic trailer reminds me of how I think it will age, which is just like a product of the exact time in which it was released.
Yes. Know? Yeah. Well, but in a weird way, the trailer feels as though it were released in the 90s. It just has better graphics.
Yes. Exactly. I mean, it's something that is just a silly looking action comedy with funny noises and extreme scenarios that kids will find funny.
I mean, the case in point, really, like, I think the thing that for me really tipped it over into that realm was Jim Carrey's performance.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Because Jim Carrey as Dr. Robotnik is just classic schlucky, you know, The Mask, Ace Ventura, Jim Carrey. I still love Ace Ventura, to be fair, but everything else, right? Like, Jim Carrey had his shtick at his peak, right? Yep. And his performance as Dr. Robotnik feels like a direct callback to just peak era Jim Carrey, you know? And look, if you were to watch most any Jim Carrey performance today outside of, like, The Truman Show, it doesn't age very well. You know, no one is looking back on The Riddler and going, man, what a star-stellar performance.
Tour de force.
Tour de force. defining role. I mean, it is a career-defining role, unfortunately. But, you know, there were moments when we maybe had thought that that was cool because we were kids. And, like, there's a frivolousness and silliness and... You know, Pratt humor, for example, is something that resonates with kids in a way that it doesn't resonate as easily with adults because it's very obvious kind of humor that's all on screen. That's what that performance felt like. And to me, that tipped it over the border of me identifying it as a very obvious children's movie in a way that I think it's unfortunate that the trailer and the conversation around it is happening in concurrence with Pokemon, because Pokemon seems very much more a teen and older audience. You know, this is going after the audience of maybe younger, you know, teenagers, but folks that are familiar with the Marvel franchise, you know, and like larger than life heroism and big action set pieces and, you know, like a sort of nitty gritty aesthetic that I don't think that Sonic is doing at all, you know? It almost feels more like the trailer reminded me more of the film Short Circuit, if you've ever seen that. You know, that's
I've only seen the trailers of it, but yes.
It's like a silly, like, oh no, we got to help our robot friend survive, or like E.T., you know, where it's like, it's a film about this like person not from Earth that has to come in and save people, or, you know, like it's that vibe.
I mean, that's why I felt like I just kind of understood it way more after seeing that trailer, where it's like, oh, this doesn't seem like it's trying for anything but making a silly kids action movie. Like, it doesn't seem like it's trying to be super, it's not a unique spin on
Sonic. Oh, I see what you did there, Scott. You know,
it's not a...
Got him.
I mean, whereas the Pokemon movie is being billed as like this weird reimagining, this almost meta commentary of Pokemon, where it's like to the point where he can understand a Pokemon, which is in and of itself kind of a weird inside joke about Pokemon.
Yep.
Whereas this is just like, you know, Sonic is like running real fast and fucking around with like robots or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
It seems very much in the tradition of the silliness that Sonic has always been. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. It seems fairly self-aware then, you know?
I think there's a sense that because it's related to a game that is so iconic in the game space, even though there hasn't been a good Sonic game in many years, right?
One might argue there was never a good Sonic
game. I mean, one might argue that, right? Like, we still hold... Look, like, I still think about Echo the Dolphin in a fond light, right? Mm. It doesn't mean that I think, like, Flipper is the best television show ever made, you know? Like, there comes a point where you go... This thing that was for me then doesn't have to be for me now, you know? And I think it's just important to separate that, because the conversation, at least amongst, you know, a lot of the, like, games press around Sonic and just some of the, like, the general internet conversation on Reddit and social media is that this is a travesty and, like, a debacle and just looks like has nothing to do with the Sonic franchise, but... I'm of the opinion that's just like, fuck it. It shouldn't have anything to do with the Sonic franchise.
Yeah.
No one going into this movie should expect a necessary knowledge of, like, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog lore. And all of the tie-ins really seem just as a way of throwing a bone to the parents that are bringing their kids, not as a way to actually attract, you know, 20, 30-something adults to go see this movie because they just love Sonic the Hedgehog.
What do you think... I mean... are kids still into Sonic the Hedgehog? Like, it seems like this is a good kids movie in a vacuum, but not even really because it's Sonic the Hedgehog, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that they are aware that Sonic the Hedgehog is a thing, but I mean, does it matter that they're not aware? Like, they're aware now because they're being marketed to, you know? Like, that's kind of the point. Because, I mean, we talked about other kids' films, like Shrek, right? Like, were people super into ogres before Shrek? Like, I don't know if kids were like, fuck yeah, like, ogres, they're the best. That's not a thing, you know? Or Hotel Transylvania, or, like, Secret Life of Pets. Like, these are films that did very, very well with really, you know, essentially being new IP.
Yeah.
With maybe minor callbacks to things that kids knew. Like, kids know Pets, so that's kind of cool. But,
yeah.
Like, Hotel Transylvania, like, was that, I mean, was the story of Dracula really important for kids? Was that a major selling point to get people out there? Or, conversely, what I think really it is, and you can see this every single year at the summer blockbuster, is it's summertime, my kids are not in school, I need 3 hours of quiet. Fuck me, I need to go to the movie theater.
It's like, 1,000 degrees outside, I need to be inside.
I mean, it is, I think it genuinely, truly, a lot of the reason kids' movies do well every summer is there's a lot of parents out there with a lot of kids who just need something to do for the summer that their kids are going to enjoy. Right. You might as well take them to the movies. That's what this movie is for.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it's just, it did kind of look, it looks like the charming kind of cheesy, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's not trying to, I guess I just don't know why people are so, I mean, people just love their old memories of Sonic, I guess, and they feel, you know, put off by this. But
Sonic is dead. Long live Sonic.
Yeah, long live John Raffio version of Sonic.
Would you take Sam to see this movie? If you were old enough. I mean, he's still a little young to, like, take the movies, but, like, you know, look, you know, let's imagine he's six. Or do you think you'd be like, you know what, I don't want to take Samwise, because if I do, he will have a bad connotation with Sonic, and I want his first Sonic experiences to be on, like, the Sega Genesis.
I mean, I would have more pause exposing him to the Sega Genesis Sonic on the off chance that he liked it, and then I would be stuck playing a bunch of fucking Sonic games.
That's true, yeah.
Like,
that's
it just seems like this would be, like, a more, like, okay, cool, there's some action, looks like there will be some, like, you know, the hero will learn some lessons at some point about being friends with this weird human cop that he hangs out with.
Oh, man. Good thing they didn't use the Blue Lives Matter tagline.
Oh, my God. I mean, what? Okay, here's a question.
Yeah.
Do you think, let's think about things that will be in this movie. Will Sonic dab?
Ooh, no.
No? Will he do the Millie Rock?
What is the Millie Rock?
It's that other Fortnite dance that you've seen, where they, like, fling their leg around, kind of.
That's a real possibility. Yeah, you know what? Yes, because what I imagine him doing is, like, you know how you can start to run and then build up speed? Like, maybe he'll, like, throw in a dance move while he's trying to, like, go fast, you know?
Do you think, will this, because I'm trying to think of the things that tend to age very poorly in kids'
will
movies.
Will Dr. Robotnik die?
No, because they have to make a sequel.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm just trying to think of things in kids' movies that age poorly, and it's usually references.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Do you think Sonic will at some point take a selfie?
Ooh, yes, I do. Yeah, because he can be in someone's selfie without them realizing it, because he's so fast.
Right. Oh, okay, here's a question.
Do you think that there's going to be references to other Sega characters?
Ooh. Like, is who, though? Echo the Dolphin.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It could be anything. It could be some, like, random, I don't know. I mean, do you think someone is going to be, let me ask you this. Will someone be playing an old Sonic video game?
100% yes. Yes, definitely.
No doubt. Sega Genesis will be in the film.
Yeah, at some point there will be some sort of 8-bit Sonic. I was going to ask this.
Oh my God. Is it going to go into a Sonic universe and everyone's going to be 8-bit?
Hey, that sounds like a more of a, like, you know, meta, like,
Lego,
you know,
movie?
Lego movie style thing, yeah. Where it's, okay, like, he learns a special lesson about his place in the universe. Or
like, well, we saw him using rings as portals. Like, maybe they go in, like, okay, let me ask you this. Are they going to go into a all hedgehog world?
Ooh.
Have we ever seen, like, I mean, I guess
Sonic I've seen a lot of stuff on the internet where people have fantasized about that.
Do the Sonic games take place on Sonic's planet? Like, is that his home world? Are there loops everywhere? Is just that how, like, transit works?
I don't know, but there was that one where he made out with a real human lady, so like there's clearly been universe.
Ooh, do you crossover. Think they'll make a callback to the fact that he made out with the human woman once?
I don't no. This movie can only be rated PG at the highest. Like there's
all right,
no way.
Alright.
Okay, here do you think there will be an oblique reference about Super Mario?
Yes.
Yep. Where it's like he goes by some like old fat plumber guy who's like struggling with a fire hydrant, and he's like, "See ya," or something. Yeah. Like
that. Oh my god! Yes, I mean 100%. I think there could even be someone playing a Mario game, and he'd be like, "I know that guy," and then like, because here's the thing: because Sonic moves fast,
so slow.
Because Sonic moves fast, he can drop a comment, mm-hmm. and then drop a joke, and then just peace the fuck out. You know, like you could have so many bullshit callbacks that way.
Okay, which influencers do you think will be in this movie?
Ooh, man, Justin Bieber.
Oh, you think Biebs? Biebs I think is pretty the Biebs, big.
Yeah, I mean, if it's just a cameo, like there, you know.
Right.
I mean, Zendaya is not, you know, Missy or whatever, right? So, like, we know that Zendaya is not in here, so. Although, well, genuinely, is Tails going to show up? Knuckles? Mm. Any of the other Sonic characters?
I think it will probably end with a reference to that in like a Marvel movie style thing.
The post-credit sequence?
I'm going to need some help. And then all of a sudden, like, Tails comes in and it's like, I heard you need some help. I don't know how Tails talks.
I bet you Dr. Robotnik is going to get stuck in the Sonic universe or something. And then, like, the cop's going to have to go in there. And be, like, really ill-equipped. But it's okay because there's all these, like, other Sonic characters.
I mean, they already show at the end of that trailer him turning into Eggman. Like, the, you know, his mustache gets all crazy and, you know, he's bald and stuff.
Ooh, I missed that part.
Yeah, it's like the stinger.
Yeah, maybe he gets bitten by some, like, Sonic Viper, you know?
I think there will probably be influencers in there that we don't even know about. Like, it will be influencers, like, for like, kids, you know?
Like the McElroy brothers.
The McElroy brothers will be in Sonic the
Hedgehog. Well, I mean, another case in point, the Trolls movie. Who the fuck saw that coming? You know, no one was asking for that movie. There's no, that has no audience, you know?
But I mean, Trolls have been popular forever. Like, Trolls have been popular perfect, since we were children. Perfect.
Yeah, but that's my point, though. I don't think that there's a huge mass market audience of young kids who have Trolls dolls.
Mm. Well, trolls are just inherently like they're insidious because they're collectible because they're basically the same but just different colors. They're funny looking. Kids like funny looking things. Like
so is Sonic.
That's what I think. Like this is not people need to understand that this is not so much a Sonic thing. It is a scientifically proven amalgamation of things kids like. You know.
Yes. Yes. It takes something that the parents have some small shred of nostalgia for it.
Yeah.
And turn it into whatever children Shrek modeled abomination you can come up with and go to town.
You know what? I bet if they get this movie off the ground and it's popular, Mike Myers will be in Sonic 2.
Do you think, in fact, maybe that's the cameo.
Where it's Mike Myers or like there's like a Shrek doll or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Or like he's dressed up like a Shrek man
and he says Shrek? Something in like Austin Powers voice or something at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Do you think that this movie is going to do well in the box office?
I mean, I don't think it will do.
I wonder what the budget is.
I don't know. I mean, you know, it's not going to be the freaking Avengers, but like I gotta believe it will be a like Kung Fu Panda style movie. You know,
Kung Fu Panda did very well.
But I mean like a sequel, you know, like Kung Fu Panda 3 or something, you know?
Yeah, I think you're probably right. In the like 50 million tops.
Yeah, I mean like I would not be surprised whatsoever if this is a profitable endeavor for whatever studio got high and decided to make this movie.
That's that's probably true. Well, because you know they saved money because that Sonic CGI is not nothing to write home about, you know?
Well, you've never seen Sonic, so maybe that's just how he looks. Like he has an otherworldliness to him.
He looks more realistic in Smash Brothers fighting against Joker than he does in this film.
Yeah, I mean, I am far more amused and tolerant of it than I thought I would be, and maybe that's just like okay, I've come to accept what that thing actually is, you know?
Here's one last question. Are they going to call him a hedgehog? Like, that's always been a little bit unclear as to what he actually is, right? Like, they call him Sonic the Hedgehog, but we have hedgehogs in the real world, you know?
Maybe it will be like a Godzilla thing where it's like, oh no, this nuclear testing has morphed this hedgehog.
I think it's more likely to be another world where, like, humans never evolved. It was hedgehogs that evolved.
Planet of the Hedgehogs.
Yeah, exactly. Dawn of the Planet of the Hedgehogs.
You monsters.
Yeah.
You went too fast and blew it up.
You went too fast.
Yeah, I mean, hell, man. That thing comes out on Netflix. We have to watch it.
Sure. I mean, we don't generally do, like, let's go back and re-talk about a subject, but, I mean, we could at least throw in, like, a five-minute after post-credits conversation about Sonic.
A quip-filled clip of our favorite influencer appearances in Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yep, all the best YouTubers.
I mean, it'll be people that we don't even understand. Like, it'll be those kids who, like, do toy unboxings and get, like, millions of views on YouTube.
Those ones, like, yeah, it'll be, like, JoJo Siwa or something. Yeah,
it's like, yeah. We won't even know, and it will just be like, man, why did they just full frame on that one kid's reaction? Like, who is that? And it's like, oh, that's a kid that has 10 million YouTube views a video.
That's probably true. Yeah, for sure.
All right. Well, I think that wraps it up for the news this week. experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is our weird, bizarro hedgehog world. Come on down. Listen to all of our podcasts. You can find us wherever you find podcasts, on your podcast player, Spotify, etc.
Jim Carrey is here.
Jim Carrey is here.
Don't get him started.
He is a licensed physician.
All right, everyone. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next week.
Ciao.